people want other things besides high-paying jobs. There are other things that are important besides the pay. And like one of the top things is culture. And so if you can convey your culture and your career growth opportunities and your other, you know, processes that you do at the store, like if you can convey that via Wrenchway on your dealer site or via your career site with Hireology, like that's going to make you more appealing to anybody that's applying.
Beyond the Wrench with Jay Ganinen from Wrenchway.
Welcome back to Beyond the Wrench. My name is Jay Ganinen and I am your host. On today's show, we welcome Tiffany Cerwinski. Tiffany is the Director of Automotive Partnerships at Hireology and is here to dive into the new partnership between Wrenchway and Hireology, along with the challenges that dealerships face in finding quality talent. I've had the pleasure of getting to know Tiffany here over the last few months as we've built this partnership between Hireology and Wrenchway, and it truly has been a pleasure. I am so excited to have you on the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for that very kind intro. Can't wait to get going.
It's so fun because you and the entire team at Hireology has just been a blast to work with. You all are, in my opinion, very down to earth, really easy to work with, and just culturally just a great group of people. So it's been so much fun to get to know you guys.
Thank you. And I don't think we've ever talked about this. One of our core values at Hireology is no assholes. So I feel
like I love
we
it.
Kind of embody that a little bit. So we appreciate that. And same goes to you guys. Like really, really having fun so far.
It's funny that you put it in there. We, in our initial values that we laid out, the first company that I started was called Find a Wrench. And I had read a book called The No Asshole Rule, and that was one of the things that we had put in as well. It is so underrated to
love that.
Love the people you work with and just want to be around them. If I think we've all worked in places where maybe you didn't exactly love going to work or love the people that you work beside, and there's a huge difference when that happens. So I absolutely love that you guys have that as part of your values.
Yeah, so fun.
All right, so let's talk about you a little bit to start off. You've got quite a great history in the automotive business and have really parlayed that into what you're doing at Hireology. How did you pick automotive? Like, what was the thing that made you want to go into this business?
Yeah, it was definitely not a thing to want to go into the business, I would say. Kind of an interesting backstory. I went to UW-Madison and Ford Motor Company. I know. Go Badgers.
Go Badgers. Yes.
Right. And Ford Motor Company heavily recruited at UW-Madison. And it was one of those things where I was in the business school. I was like, what am I going to do with my life? And Ford was where I ended up taking an offer. So I started my career at Ford in the Chicago region. And I spent about 8.5 years there. And so over 8.5 years, spent pretty much 100% of that time working with dealerships, which like, looking back, sometimes I think about myself in those first couple of months and I was like, what the heck was I doing? Like literally I was totally clueless. And to now kind of be here talking as an expert on this subject is really, really cool. And I like to think about that coming full circle. But yeah, so I spent about 8.5 years working at Ford. I had a variety of different positions. I started on the service side as a zone manager, started actually up in Wisconsin calling on dealerships there. Went down to a couple other territories, and then I moved on to our business development specialist for service. And this was actually about like 7 years ago. And it was at that point with this job that I was really like, okay, I like this industry. Like this is fun. There's cool stuff happening. And oddly enough, my big project was tech hiring. And this was like 7 years ago. And Ford came out with this initiative that was essentially just like, we need to add techs. Every region needs to add techs to dealers, like go and figure it out. And it was a really cool project. And like, I was sort of like, I don't know how to do this. Right. But I ended up getting in contact with a lot of local tech schools. And that was really where I like kind of started having a passion for hiring, had a passion for like building a team. And there was like a clear need for dealers to think about it. Especially when it comes to technicians, like we've been talking about this now for 7 years. I've been talking about this for 7 years. And we're still talking about it, right? So it's like all this work continues to have to be developed. And I love working at Hireology now where that kind of comes full circle and we're really kind of working to build teams and everything.
We'll talk some about Hireology. The one thing that I'm interested in is if it hadn't been automotive, what were the other avenues that you would have looked to go down?
Oh, geez. I don't know. Actually, that puts me in a weird spot because I was at a point where I was like, I'll take anything. I was like, give me a job. and for me, it was very much like Ford. Oh, that's a big company. Like that's a like well-known. And I was really, really proud to go out there and be like, I got a job at Ford. I'm working. It was very well-known. And that was like important for me. So I have no clue what I would have done had it not been like auto. And yeah, I'm glad I ended up there for sure. So.
It's hard to get into B school at UW. That's a pretty impressive feat in its own right.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, what a fun school. Like you're from Wisconsin. I'm sure a lot of your listeners are from Wisconsin too. So got to represent.
Love it. Love it. Love it. So you transitioned from Ford to Hireology. And I think your Ford experience will come back into play as we go through this discussion, because what you learn in being in dealerships is so vital and key to even what you're doing right now. But going from that, you know, almost blue blood of a company in a Ford to an up and comer, which is now there at Hireology. But at the time, it was in my eyes, I've followed Hireology forever, so it feels like it's been around forever, but not the 100 years like a Ford, right? And so Walk me through that kind of thinking. When you go to Hireology, you're able to use your background, your education to really parlay it into a strength in this up-and-coming, just super, super company. What was the appeal in making that move?
Yeah, that's a good question. Just a little bit more on the background. Like I said, spent about 8.5 years at Ford. So that's a long time to be in dealership all the time. Like coming from the corporate side of things, like working with dealerships, trying to like parlay that information all the time. And for me, like I really enjoyed the people that I worked with at Ford. But I was ready for a change, and it was a change that was going to kind of take me out of the auto industry and into the tech industry. And I think it's an important thing to think about as we think about like people leaving automotive or people choosing to go to automotive. I feel like my experience is not unique, right? Like you kind of get burnt out with some of the stuff that you go in and talk about and over and like, again, loved working for Ford, had great experiences, but it was one of those things where it was like, I could stay in automotive or I could go to tech and try something that's very up and coming. And what I love about tech and working at Hireology is you still get the automotive industry, but you know, you've got the other things that people are looking for, like flexibility and career growth, for example. And just, you know, a company that has, you know, a lot of passion for its people and everything. And you can really get that at a smaller company, but we'll get to a little bit more of the metrics and stuff later, but like there are a lot of reasons that people leave their jobs, and a lot of the ones that we find with the people that we survey from Hireology are the same ones that sort of made a difference for me too. So it was a big step. I had thought about it long and hard, but I mean, Hireology is a great company. We've got great vision, great messaging, and a lot of fun to work here. And I think like what we're trying to get out and work with our customers, our dealers, and everybody is really important, and it's not going to be important anytime soon. So got to keep fighting that fight.
It's different though. Right. And I made that swing from the corporate world, being a rep. I was for Bobcat Company, for quite a few years, and making that jump is, you know, in my experience, and it was a little different because I had started something that was like just nothing. Right. And so being able to have the confidence that your background is going to apply to whatever it is that you're moving forward with, I think is huge. And I give you a lot of credit because you were able to kind of keep that history in that experience as valuable to what you're doing now. And I think even with personal friends, I see them where they'll hop from, you know, one industry to another industry, and maybe, you know, that, that experience is valuable, but it doesn't, you know, the connections that you've made and the friends that you've made in that industry kind of start to go away. And what you're able to do in the jump that you made was really able to leverage those relationships and able to keep those friends that you've grown up with in the industry, essentially, close to you, because it is, I think, really, really important and something that gives you a good foundation to build on.
Right, right. And don't get me wrong, when I was leaving Ford, I didn't think I was going to stay in auto. Like, that was an interesting decision. As I was looking, I made the decision to leave. I was like, geez, like, the world's my oyster, right? Like, there's so much to do. But to your point, with such a background, 8.5 years is no small chunk of time, right? So it felt like I had an opportunity to not only get some new experiences and get into a new sort of industry, which is the tech industry, but also use that expertise that I felt like I had started to develop. And I do feel like there's like such an, like, for anybody that's trying to do anything different in their career, like, there's something that's really important about like leaving what you're doing, coming to somewhere new, and then being able to like kind of prove to yourself, prove to other people that like, hey, I did learn a lot, right? Because like in the moment, you're sort of like, all I know is Ford talk, right? All I know is Ford. But then you come in and it does translate, right? Like, so much of that translates. And I've found that really, really exciting at Hireology to have that Ford background. And now with my current role, Director of Automotive Partnerships, like, it's really come into play again, just to be able to understand what the industry is doing, like what other businesses are doing, and like really how to drive home what we're trying to do and grow our business.
So let's talk about this role at Hireology, Director of Automotive Partnerships. And what does that mean? What does your day-to-day life look like?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Hireology has been around for over 10 years now. So we have been in automotive for all 10 of those years. It's really where we founded the business. And automotive makes up, you know, over 60-70% of our customers. So we're really automotive experts, which is cool. We're in 1 in 4 dealerships across the country. Auto is what we know. And we are also in a couple other verticals as well. But what that means for me is I came into a position that was pretty established. And there's been a lot of stuff that I've been trying to continue on, working with different OEMs like GM, Subaru, Toyota, like working with the OEMs to try and continue our relationships with them. But then also new ventures, like working with you guys, to see like what else there is that we can do in the industry that's a little bit different than what we've tried in the past. And it's really fun because I get to try new things, and my company is super supportive of like, that's a good idea, go for it, or like, give it a shot. And like, that's been really fun. I've been in this position for 3 months now, which is not a huge amount of time, but in 3 months, like, we have a new partnership with you guys, which is just so exciting. There's, yes. You know, a lot of relationships that I'm still working on building. And sometimes that's actually harder than you think it's going to be. Like, I kind of came in this and I was like, oh, we got all these relationships. Like, look, I'm like already off to a great start. And then actually finding out that like, oh, it's not my relationship. It was theirs. And now I got to rebuild it. And so that's been an interesting, not hurdle, but just an interesting thing to learn how to do. So it's been fun. So really kind of the goal of my job now is to build Hireology's brand and ultimately make more sales, right? So figure out different ways that we can get into dealerships and really spread the word. And the vantage that I take with that, since we are so well known in the industry, 10 years in the industry, is education. And that's why I think joining up with you guys, doing some of the stuff that we're doing, is really important, because, you know, a lot of people have heard about Hireology, but getting our messaging across is one of the big things that is important to me. And really working with dealers like small, large, medium, whatever, so that they can think about their hiring process, think about whether Hireology fits into it, and like whether or not we do, like, hopefully come up with a better plan to build their best team.
One thing I've got to give you just the biggest compliment on, Tiffany, is when you are in a meeting, you have a really good presence. You are able to really kind of carry the meeting. You really drive progress in the meeting. It's fun, but also you get stuff done. And you're really, really organized. I think I told you this before, but I walked away after one of our last meetings and I'm like, my goodness, Tiffany, you do such a good job at just kind of keeping everything planned out and really structured. And was so, so impressed by that.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. Like sometimes it feels like it's to a fault, but I'm glad that that it's been helpful so far. So I really appreciate the compliment.
If you're enjoying Beyond the Wrench, remember to follow and rate our podcast to help support the show. Right now, we would like to give a shout out to this week's sponsor, Wind River Payments. Are you okay paying a bunch of added fees for credit card processing? How about waiting for hours or days for a call back from tech support at your payment processor? Wind River Payments is not okay with that either. In fact, a desire to get rid of the empty promises of the payments industry is one of the reasons this merchant services company was formed back in 1999. Now, over two decades later, family-owned Wind River continues to thrive by bringing integrity, transparent pricing, and a higher standard of service to its customers. They've been serving the automotive industry for over 20 years and would love the opportunity to serve you too. Give them a call at 833-274-5875 or visit windriverpayments.com.
So I think most people probably that are listening to this know who Hireology is, but for those that don't, can you give us kind of a Cliff Notes version of what Hireology is and really what you do for all of these dealerships?
Yeah, for sure. So Hireology, at the core, we're an applicant tracking system. So essentially anything that you as a customer, as a dealer need from posting a job to having applicants on that job filter into your applicant tracking system to reviewing their resume, sending out pre-screens, using contact like text and email to contact those applicants quickly, all the way through interview scheduling. We have references, background checks, things like that, but all the way through like actually hiring somebody. So end to end from when you need to post a job to when you hire somebody, Hireology is your solution for that. And we're pretty known, like I said, in the auto industry for being experts in this category. But really that's where the crux of our business is. It's in applicant tracking. So we post to a variety of different job boards like Wrenchway, like Indeed, and a couple of the other big ones, and really helping dealers to organize themselves, collect all of their applicants, put them in one place, and just really work on the process for improving the hiring process at a dealership so that it is streamlined, smooth, and that people that are applying enjoy the process as well. So we try and help in all areas of hiring.
And it's a lot of things that maybe that dealership doesn't want to do, right? I think you make the stuff that even that HR person that's out there and they do some of that, they don't want to, or in a lot of cases, they have a million other things going on and the last thing in the world they want to do is kind of manage that piece of it. And again, as I've gotten to know Hireology, I think the software itself is just brilliant. I think what you've put together in terms of making that easier for that dealership is amazing. I can't get over how streamlined you've kind of made that process and do think you take a lot of headaches away from a dealership.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point that I forgot to mention. You know, we work with, you know, the single rooftop dealerships that have a few hiring managers and no central HR to we work with dealerships that have 50 or more rooftops that have that corporate HR department. So regardless of the size of the dealership, we can really like work however they need to. So if you want to be in corporate HR and have total control over all the jobs being posted, all the applicants being reviewed and all of that fun stuff, like you can do that. Or if you want your hiring managers, your service managers, your sales managers to have some ownership in that process, you can do that too. So we're very customizable in the sense of like whatever your process is or whatever you want your process to be, we can really build the platform to fit your needs and like make your whole hiring process easier, like you said.
And it's not just technicians, right? You're everything in a dealership.
Right, right. Yeah, if we said it was just technicians, you'd be missing out on like a ton of opportunity with hireology. But nice thing about hireology, experts in automotive in general. So we come prepared with job templates for sales, for office managers, for technicians across the board. So yes, you can post your tech jobs and your service jobs in general, but we are for the whole dealership.
And that is really cool. That kind of brings me to the partnership between Hireology and Wrenchway. And the reason we wanted to talk about it today was just to make sure that people are understanding what that relationship means, how it looks, how it feels, everything like that. And one of the really cool parts for those of you that have followed Wrenchway probably have seen the growth on the school side, trying to get more technicians into this industry. And it ties really nicely into what Hireology does with more of the actual posting and really casting that wide net and trying to get more and more applicants into your dealership. So you have people to talk to and that you have people to be able to interview and hopefully end up in a really, really good hire. And so as we started kind of working through the process, there was such a really nice complement between the two companies in how we work. And I think the more we had conversations, the more apparent it became that, hey, you know what? This is a really, really nice complementary set of businesses that can work together for the greater good of the industry, for the greater good of the dealerships themselves. And really, you know, hopefully at the end of the day, make it easier on that end applicant as well. So talk to me about that piece. Where was the appeal on the Wrenchway side for you guys? Because you are a really well-established company, and being able to take somebody like us who, you know, we're 4 years into this now and be able to kind of lock arms in that partnership. What was your sense in going into that relationship as to the value add or where we could take this thing?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a couple pieces of it. You know, number one, I mentioned earlier, Hireology, we experts in auto, but we have other verticals. So as we kind of continue to develop those other verticals, you know, we want to be experts and do things vertical specific that can help our customers. So when we think about other things in automotive vertical, like the biggest challenge that dealers generally have is finding technicians. The second biggest challenge is keeping salespeople, right? So it's like, how can we help one of those challenges, which is finding technicians? And it's probably to pair up with somebody else in the industry that is really good at helping to make those connections. So we survey our applicants every year. And one of the things that we find is like, by and large, people will always apply on Indeed. But if you take Indeed out of the equation, you know, you need Indeed. Everybody's going to continue to use Indeed. But, you know, when you take Indeed out of the equation, every other place that people are applying, so your specialized job boards, LinkedIn, on career sites, if you look at all the rest of them, they're all very equal. So we really need to be meeting your applicants where they are. And yes, they're going to be on Indeed, but they're going to be on a variety of other sources as well. So I think it's really important that we continue to do things for our customers to help them cast that wide net. And the other thing that I think was really appealing about working with Wrenchway was, you know, again, helping our customers get to connect to the local schools. That's not something that we at Hireology have the bandwidth to do. So being able to go to our customers and hand them that value proposition of like, hey, now you can go to these schools. Like, now we can help you with that. Like, we have a solution to help you do that. It's just one more thing that like we can do for our customers to help them, again, build that best team.
I think it was such a good point by you in talking about Indeed and the importance of Indeed. And I tell people all the time, it is a great platform. There are so many people out there, and when you're casting that net, even as it relates to technicians, that should be a key piece of your strategy just because there are so many people out there. What we found as we've grown Wrenchway has been really interesting in that we'll see a especially technician, because that's our thing, they'll go to Indeed, see a posting, but they want to do more research on that company. And a lot of times the websites are very geared toward, you know, the customer, which they should be. That's what they're trying to do, is get more business in the door as a dealership. But oftentimes what we found was that they would leave behind the ability for that technician to do their due diligence on a store, right? And really learn about that store in a way that maybe you can't in a job advertisement, which, you know, it's really, really hard to do. So I think as you're saying that, it is funny how all of this kind of works together and that there are reasons why all of these pieces of the puzzle are what you need to make it a really, really effective recruiting strategy. Hopefully you're working on the retention side as well. So once they're in there, they're happy and you're treating them well. But again, I think what you do and how it complements or how what we do to complement you has really honestly been kind of seamless. And I'm really, really excited to see where this goes, because I do think that that even makes that full cycle even wider, right? It really helps maybe that dealership that's out there be able to get their hands around this a little bit, because it's not an easy thing to do for any applicant. Technicians especially, very, very difficult to get in front of. And you really have to do everything you can to get in front of them, which is, again, not an easy thing to do.
Right. And when we think about branding too, like you mentioned, like technicians want to know what kind of shop they're coming into. And that goes for everybody that's applying to dealerships in general too. And I think that goes back to the whole, you know, people want other things besides high paying jobs. There are other things that are important besides the pay. And like one of the top things is culture. And so if you can convey your culture and your career growth opportunities and your other, you know, processes that you do at the store, like if you can convey that via Wrenchway on your dealer site or via your career site with Hireology, like that's going to make you more appealing to anybody that's applying. So I think, yeah, going back to what you said about the site for the technicians, like it's so important. It's so important to really think about your branding and think about what that looks like and how you can convey that so that, yeah, people want to click on your job. So people want to learn more. Yeah, there's a lot that you can do.
There is. And it just being proactive about it is hugely important. Now, I think when we look at moving forward and being able to see the industry as a whole and maybe opportunities for them to get better. And you mentioned culture. I think culture is such a underrated thing. And I think the buzzword itself is kind of overused, but when you see good culture, it's just different. And you talked about the importance of that to a business as a whole. Hireology does it better than anybody. You guys have such a great culture and do a good job at showing that culture off. Any advice for, and this might be for any type of business, let alone a dealership, but any advice to maybe that business out there that is looking to improve their culture or just trying to make it more fun to be at work in an effort to retain people? You've been ingrained in Hireology now for a few years. What advice would you have for a business when it comes to culture?
Yeah, I think it's so important to think about that. And it's also so important to like reflect on that with your own employees. It's going to vary by person. But one thing that Hireology does that I think is great is every week we have a Tuesday morning huddle with our whole company. And we have an anonymous way to submit shout outs to people for a job well done. And so every week, you know, one of our members of leadership gets up on our podium and they run through like our weekly huddle. Inside that weekly huddle, you've got a variety of things that people are giving just shout outs for, little paragraphs, big paragraphs, like whatever the case is there. But it really, it's great to see that other people are cheering people on. And it's motivating to want to help cheer people on. So every week we also have, or every year we have a new theme. This year's theme is better every day. So every week we have a better every day winner, right? Like who's that person that is really putting in that extra effort to do something a little bit better. So I love that about Hireology. We're all about giving props to other people. And that makes the culture just so inviting, welcoming, and all of that fun stuff. But the other thing that I would say is like, ask your employees what they want. A lot of people don't know what they want. And so it's hard. But if you think about something like flexibility, which is really important for culture, you know, a lot of dealers will automatically go to like, well, I can't work from home, so I can't be flexible. And that's the reality is that's not what flexibility means. Like there's a lot of variations to flexibility. you know, for example, like you could find that like somebody needs to pick their kid up from school at 3:30 every day. And so they need to come in an hour earlier. Like that's flexibility. If you just have that open conversation about like what it is that people want, we can make our people a lot happier and add to that culture of people wanting to work there, you know, and for a variety of different reasons, just talking about it.
I get the sense that we are starting to see dealers shift in that regard, right? And I'm curious as to if you're seeing it now that you've been in the industry for quite a while. Are you seeing a little bit of that shift to more flexible work schedules or, you know, whatever benefit? It feels like we're moving in the right direction now.
Yeah, I think like slowly but surely we are. I reflect back on, you know, physical punch cards, like when I started back at Ford and like going into service departments, like, what is that machine, right? And like, that was not that long ago that people were, and I'm sure people are still doing that. So I'm probably hating on a couple people at this point. But like you think about things like that, that are a little bit archaic. But you've got dealers that are very, very innovative. And I think of like one large dealer group that they're trying to be more flexible and they're giving all of their employees the opportunity. Well, it's not even the opportunity. Everybody's doing it of working 4-10s. So how do you make 4-10s work? A lot of things need to change, but 4-10s and all of the things that need to change with that go along with that is really worth it to their employees because it gives them the flexibility to have 3 days off, to have more time with their family, do the other things that they want to do. And that's flexibility to that group. So actually what this group is doing is they're moving their hours every day from 10 to 6. So everybody is who's working that 4-10s, like that's your 10-hour shift right there, the opening and then the closing. So I think it's a really interesting thing to do. And it takes a huge overhaul, especially when you start to think about like multiple locations in there. But it's things like that, that like, even if we try it and it doesn't work, you know, it's going towards something that's giving your employees a little bit more flexibility. And I think that's really important. The other thing that I'm seeing more of in the industry is like people, you know, kind of fighting for like wage increases. I was working with a dealer in my previous job at Hireology, and they went into this huge wage study on what other people in their area were getting paid for jobs similar to like receptionists and porters. So they did this massive study. I helped them with some data. We talked about it. They took it back to their leadership and they ended up like, I can't remember what the dollar amount was, but they increased all of their porters' wages and they increased all their receptionist wages by $1, $1.50, like whatever it was, because they were able to do that and take that to leadership and say, like, we're going to lose people if we don't stay progressive in the stuff that we're doing. Those things like that, even putting the effort in there and like making those small changes, I think that goes a really, really long way for those really entry level positions.
Could not agree more. I applaud the dealer that did that, because in any dealer that makes changes based on what they're hearing, and maybe, you know, I think 10 years ago, most dealerships probably would have said, yeah, we're not doing that. Like that's not something that is in our wheelhouse. And, you know, we're just going to operate this way because we've operated this way for the entirety of our company. Right. And so as you're starting to hear more and more of those dealerships that are starting to adapt and change, I think you learn things as you go through that process as well. I was talking to somebody the other day that they also went to 4-10s. And one of the things they learned was that it really cut down on their appointments. So personal appointments, such as like a haircut or something like that over the course of the week, because they could do it on their day off. And in the past, you wouldn't have been able to do that. You're running from sun up to sundown, it felt like, every single day. And so allowing that employee to have a little bit of flexibility was huge. And I think as you have open and transparent conversation with your teams, there's so many opportunities to learn and get better and try to figure out how you become that destination type of employer. And I think that's such a key right now, because if you're not aiming to be that destination type of shop, there are others that are working toward that and are getting better and are right, more attractive to that person that's out there. So I'm guessing you probably see something similar, but those high achieving dealerships, the ones that listen to their people, typically don't have nearly as tough time finding people as maybe those others that don't.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it goes for so many things in the industry, but if you're not doing it, you don't have the time to change, or you don't whatever, somebody else is doing it, right? Somebody else is making 410. Somebody else is raising wages. Somebody else is like improving their process for hiring. Somebody else is hiring more quickly. You know, there's so many other things that, like, if we're not putting in like a little bit of effort, then we are getting passed up in some form or fashion.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics says technicians make around $46,000 a year. Does that sound like BS to you? We thought so too. At Wrenchway, we work with some of the best shops and dealerships across the country, and we've seen technicians make a lot more than that. So we decided to gather our own data. We're excited to announce the launch of our new online technician pay tool. You can now search technician pay by industry, shop type, location, and experience. We've already had over 3,000 technicians submit their pay data anonymously. You can explore the pay data and even submit your own data anonymously at wrenchway.com/pay. Thank you for your continuous support of Wrenchway as we strive to promote and improve automotive and diesel careers. We couldn't do it without you. Since we've already kind of opened the lid on this transition to the industry type of talk, I want to talk about the talent shortage in general. And I think the first thing that I'll note is that it's not just our industry that's struggling to find people, right? It's every single business that's out there right now, for the most part. Obviously, as the economy seems to be correcting a little bit here, I don't know that it's maybe quite as bad in some places as it was. But I also don't see this going away anytime soon. I think the fight for good people is going to be a constant thing as we go throughout our careers. And I think the more serious you take that, and the more serious that you know that there is a true technician shortage, and not just technicians, but every position in a dealership, essentially, I think you're going to struggle with that. But talk to me a little bit about that in the shortage in general, and how somebody can attack this and maybe not be so reactive all the time.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, that's a really, really important topic. And I think you kind of have to lead out with, like, there's sort of two sides of the coin. On one side, you have like the tech industry that I'm in, where like tons of layoffs have happened over the last 2 years. Because there was so much hiring during COVID, like all of a sudden, like there was an increase in hiring. And then now all of a sudden we've overhired, right? So you have all of these people that are working in tech that are looking for jobs. Not so much like at this current moment, but we've seen that over the last year, right? Like people losing their jobs. And then we have this like overage of people that are looking for jobs in tech. When on the other hand, you've got like an extreme shortage of anybody to work at a dealership, right? It's specifically technicians. So when you think about that, you know, juxtaposition, I think there's a lot that goes into that. Like, number one, a lot of the technicians that are retiring are baby boomers. So you think about all of that generation retiring now, and then we have this shortage of people that entered the market after baby boomers. And then when you think about millennials and that generation, we were all encouraged to go to four-year colleges. There was so much less emphasis on the trades. And so we had this significant drop off of people going to tech schools. So you've got baby boomers retiring, and then you've got less people entering the tech schools. And all of a sudden, you've got about 1 million people who you're short on technicians. And that's a true stat. Within the next 5 years, we're going to be almost close to 1 million people short on technicians, which is insane.
Scary.
Like, how do you recover from that? So, you know, one thing that I think is really important to think about, that we don't always think about, is inviting people into the automotive industry. You have to sell people on why automotive is a good industry to go into. And I go back to the fact that, like, I left automotive a while ago. So like, how can I sell people on that? Right. But it is like training people that, you know, it is a good industry. There's tons of people that love the automotive industry. And like, I do too, but a lot of people outside of the auto industry don't know that it's a lovable industry, right? Like, there are things to love about it. So we need to be selling automotive more so than any other industry. Like, you need to sell the industry, not just your dealership. Mm-hmm. When we think about women in automotive, like, you know, women are close to half of the population in general. Women are only about 3.5% of technicians, which is wild. It's not that wild, but it's wild at the same time, right? Like, that's so small. And comparably, only 11% of salespeople are women, which to me...
That's crazy.
Right. And, you know, when we think about only 11% of women or 11% of salespeople being women, I think that's just a huge detriment to dealerships in general. Women want to buy cars from women. Women want to be sold service from women. Women are more comfortable buying from women, especially when walking into a dealership, when dealerships can be really intimidating if they don't know what they're doing. So I think there's a stat that something like women influence, make or influence around 80% of decisions for their families. So if you think about that and like you walk into a dealership as a woman and you're like thrown off by whatever situation, you could have lost the car sale. You could have lost your service sale. There's so many sales that could be lost because, you know, women making 80% of the buying decisions walks in and they're uncomfortable. So I say all that to say that, like, I think there's opportunity there. When we think about bringing people into the industry, we have a missed market. So not only do we need to sell people in general of coming into auto, but we need to sell the benefits that go along with it, right? So your good culture, your flexibility, maybe your 410s, maybe the ability to leave early a couple of days of the week, the things that we've talked about already. I think we need to go back to that when we think about the talent shortage is those missing markets and how that can plug some of the gaps for you.
You look at even your own experience, and had it not been for that recruiter at UW-Madison, there's a chance that you wouldn't have even been in the automotive world. And I think it's really easy to say that because it's in a university type setting and you do have all of those kind of corporate recruiters there. But the same thing goes for your business and for that shop that's out there. If you're looking for that talent, it would be really easy for a young person to look at the industry and say, okay, and especially for technicians, the barriers that I have, I'm probably not going to start at the top of the totem pole in terms of pay. I'm going to have a huge tool expense to start off with. It, you mentioned women. You go in and if you're a female technician and you don't see any other female technicians in the dealership, that's not probably the most comforting thing in the world. And so I think what you're saying is so on point in that the visibility of what we do is so important to the general consumer. I think to, and that goes beyond them just buying a vehicle. If their child wants to come into our industry and they've got an overly negative perception of what it is that we do, or not maybe just a positive perception of what we do, why would you put your kid into that industry, right? Why would you allow them to go that route? And so I think your experience is very relative to most experiences that somebody goes through, even if they aren't going to a four-year school, unless they know what it is that we do, they're not coming here.
Right. Right. No, it's absolutely. And it goes back to the education. We're selling people on your dealership. We're selling people on automotive. So we're not going to get anywhere. If we don't make some changes, if we don't try and make those steps forward for, you know, how we function as a business.
One of those changes that we talk about quite often is leadership in dealerships and the need for strong leaders that are motivational, that are maybe a little different than they looked 20 years ago. Right. And I think as we're, and I say this, and I don't want to pin this on millennials because, and I say this all the time that if you're that, you know, you look at career pathing, for example, if you're that 55-year-old technician and your body's starting to break down and you don't know what the next thing is, you're just as terrified, if not more terrified, of what your next 10 years is going to look like than that person just getting into this business. And so when I go back to and kind of circle back to the strong leadership and being able to, one, be able to motivate your people, make it a good culture, make, you know, be intentional about your culture, but then also having the wherewithal and the really the vision to be able to paint a picture for somebody as it relates to a career path or just putting some structure around their careers in general, how important is that leadership going to the next level in impacting our future industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's super important. You think about even culture, right? Culture is made up of so many small things, but if leadership doesn't embody those things, it's not going to trickle down. And that's the same for the tech industry, the auto industry. It's the same for any industry. So really, we need strong leaders. And it's interesting when you think about like the comeuppance of people in dealerships is like the leaders at dealerships have been there for years and years and years, right? So they only know one way. You sort of do need somebody to break in and say like, this is whack, right? Like, this is weird. Why are we doing it this way? Like, why are we not doing such and such? Like, you need somebody that's going to be a little bit more of an innovator to come in and maybe change some things. And I think that goes same thing for career pathing. A lot of times people will say, well, like, of course there's a career path. Like, well, you get promoted and then you get promoted. And it's like, okay, but like, what does that look like? You get a dollar raise and a dollar raise. Like, there's not like, if we don't sit down and actually think about what that career pathing looks like and what that promotion looks like, how can you communicate to that to the people that are starting with you? So, you know, one of the things that we do at Hireology for our customers is we build a career site, which I mentioned. One of the things you can feature on your career site is your career path. And you can customize that. But I think even having it laid out, like a couple of those very basic ones, right? Like if you start as a porter, eventually you can be a service director. You start as a porter, eventually you can be a platform manager. Like, you know, is if you have some basic outline of what can happen, you know, that's a really good visual for people. But again, you need the buy-in from the people up above. Like, these are the steps that you can take. Like, and you need people to, you know, have yearly touch points. You need people to have an open door policy. You can't just say it that we have a career path and then not do anything about it, right? So we need to be doing more to have that open door policy for our people to speak openly about it and like be open to new ideas. And that's not easy to do, right? Like, again, no. You get those people that have been in the industry forever and like they don't necessarily want to do it that way. So it takes a lot of work. One more thing on that. I did a women in automotive presentation last year, and it was I thought it was a great presentation. We had a lot of good feedback and everything. And I got two comments at the end. It was like, I would have been really happy if my male manager was there. Because a lot of the women that were in the audience, you know, were managers of a department or maybe just not managers, just individual contributors, and their managers didn't come to the meeting. Right. So it's, you know, a lot of that is that we need managers to be willing to try something different, be willing to learn and all of that. And you can't force people to want to learn.
No. And I think that's exactly what I'm referring to in that next level type of leader is somebody that is willing to have an open mind and try different things and see what works and see, frankly, what doesn't work. So I think that is a very solid point. The other thing I would add to what you were saying there is actually showing people that have done that, right? And the stories behind that porter that did work their way up to be service director, or that female tech that started off as a newbie and worked their way up to be a master level technician. I just think there's so much value in showing it, not just saying it, and being able to actually share those stories, because our industry is flooded with great stories of people that started out at the ground level and have worked their way up and worked hard to get there. And I don't think we're very good at that a lot of times in being able to share those stories.
You're right. I forgot. Testimonials. That's so important, right? Like getting people to talk about their experiences too and how they did it. While you were saying that, I also just thought of like job shadowing, you know, another good way to get younger folks involved and like thinking about their future. Sometimes it's like they don't even know that they have the ability to think about their future. Right. And like that job shadow really gives them an opportunity to see what else is out there.
One of the most underutilized tools between business and education is that job shadow. And I love it when we job shadow people or when students come in and job shadow at a shop. And I do really, really think you're doing them a huge favor if they come in and find out they don't like the industry, because they're not going to go spend a bunch of money on school and tooling that they don't need. And we've had this at my own family shop where we've brought in different job shadows job shadow our technicians and leave that day saying, I don't know if this is for me. And I'm like, that's perfectly fine. You just need to know yourself good enough to understand that if that's not the route that you want to go, perfectly fine. But if it is, and you're talented, we want to connect with you. We want to help build you up so that you love this industry and you are an active participant in this industry. And so when you say job shadows, you're speaking to my core. I absolutely love that.
Yeah. I mean, if we could help people make decisions sooner, then they wouldn't be miserable 20 years later sometimes, right?
Yes.
Like, if we can talk about that and like say it's okay if you want to do something else, like it's okay. You just have to identify it and try and figure out what it is that you want to do. Coaching is so important. Mentorship, coaching, it's everybody should be able to have somebody to open door, talk to and learn from.
Oh my goodness. Yes. And that, again, going back to my leadership thing, I think the best leaders are great coaches and they know how to drive people and they know how to motivate. And I just think if you look at yourself as a coach, and, you know, I use a lot of sports analogies and it's just because I love sports, but I think there are so many parallels in the best coaches in sports oftentimes are those just great leaders. And I just think there's so much we can learn from that side as well. So, everything you just said there, I was like, spot on, 100%. That is amazing.
Perfect.
So we work obviously incredibly hard to get in front of these people and show these candidates why we're the place to work, why they should choose to leave where they're at to come work for us. What can we do once we get them in the door and we get them talking to have a more successful recruitment of a candidate and to make sure that they don't fall through the seams? Because I've seen it over and over and over the years where we work our tails off to get in front of that person and then drop the ball.
Right.
What are things that dealers can do to make sure that they don't drop the ball?
Yeah, for sure. And I want to even back it up just a little bit too.
Please.
I think it's really important to say, how do we make sure people apply in the first place? There's a couple of things that we already talked about, you know, culture and all of that fun stuff and everything, but we also want to make sure that it's easy for applicants to get through the process to actually make that application. One of the things that we talk about at Hireology is don't make your application hard for people to do. Nearly 3 in 4 people give up on an application because it's too long to complete. So if they've already given you a resume and then you ask them to give you their 5 years of experience in their application, like that doesn't make a lot of sense. Look at my resume. Having to rewrite things on your resume is really a deterrent for people. Having too many lines on the application is really a deterrent. It's something like half of people will give up on an application if they have to create a login. So if they have to go in, like, I hate creating logins. Like, it's a lot easier on iPhones and everything. But like, if you're thinking about how candidates are or applicants are applying for about 10 different jobs on average at the same time, like that's a lot of jobs. So if they have to be creating applications or creating logins every time they're applying to a job, that's 10 new logins that they need to think about and manage if your process requires them to create a login. Like it's so distracting for people. So we try and encourage our customers to like get them in the door with the application, make it as easy as possible. 3 to 5 questions, name, email, resume, phone, and whatever else is like absolutely required in your application. Do that and just get the information and then use your teams, like your recruiters, or your hiring managers or whoever, to filter out or filter in the good people or the bad people. Just get as many people in as possible and then sort from there. Like, don't miss out on good people by having it difficult for them to do anything. So that's the first thing, I think. Once you get people to apply to your job, once you have that easy application process, like the number one thing to do to continue along that process is think about speed. We really want to be contacting people quickly. It's insane, but the majority of people who are applying to jobs, they expect to be interviewed in 3 days. So that's interviewed, right? It's like I applied and they expect to have their first interview in 3 days. Like what we find at Hireology is like people aren't even contacting people for 3 days or more. So if you're waiting to contact somebody for 3 to 5 days and your applicant thinks they should have been interviewed already on day three, like you're missing the boat, right? And then your applicant has this sort of like warped view of you that you don't have your crap together, right? So it's like they have this view all of a sudden that like, you know, you guys are slow, you don't have a good process, like all of those things, like that happens really quickly on that first impression. So we encourage people to be contacting their applicants right away. Have something like an automation set up to go out as soon as somebody applies. Thanks for your application. We'll be with you shortly. Like something like that. Have that set up to go out automatically. And then have, you know, blockers in place if something in your process does fall through. So if it's the weekend and you weren't able to get to somebody on that second day, for example, have another automation set up like you can in Hireology to say like, thanks for your patience. We still haven't gotten your resume. We'll get back to you shortly. Things to keep people, those applicants warm in the process is so important so we don't lose them. And last thing I'll say on that process or on that topic is ghosting. So people are more likely to ghost you if they feel like you're not communicating well with them or if you lied to them or if the hiring process was taking too long. And that is so frustrating. Like it, you know, that you had them scheduled and then all of a sudden like something broke in the process and they don't call you back. And then it's like, what happened to this person? So one of the main things that you can do to prevent that is to take speed issues out of the equation and make sure that you're contacting them right away so that other employers don't have the opportunity to do so.
And it's such an easy process to attack, right? I mean, if you look at it, maybe go try to apply to your own job at some point or just talk through the process with somebody. And I guarantee there's going to be some low-hanging fruit that you can work on and improve. And you're probably never going to be perfect, but at least you're constantly working on that process and how fast you respond to somebody, how you respond to somebody. And if you're making the efforts to put yourself in a better position, I can't imagine that you're going to have less success, right? I have a feeling that you're going to be far more successful if you are really focused on that speed side.
Yeah. And when you think about your applicant process, like your lead process, like what dealership would take more than 24 hours to respond to a vehicle lead, right? Like in the sales department, you are responding to your leads within hours. If you are trying to build your best team and get the best people in the door, you need to be treating your applicants like they are leads and responding to them as quickly as possible. And there's tons of people that aren't doing that. And there's tons of people that aren't monitoring that. And I would say, like, if you don't have the ability to monitor those things, like with something like Hireology or a different ATS, at least start to think about it, like reflect on your process and say like, all right, we're not monitoring this, but like, what can we monitor? What is our current process? Do we have a process? Like, just even asking those questions to get an understanding of like what's happening is better than just like going in blindly and not having any clue what's happening in your process.
We actually, former Hireology member, Mike McSherry, we did a presentation one time out in Portland, Oregon, I believe, but we kind of did it side by side. And in that workshop, we had all of the dealers break off into different round tables and then had all of them try to apply to their own jobs and to see how hard it was to actually just apply for a technician position. And it was so funny to hear the people as they're talking, because a lot of them were service managers going through it and saying, oh my goodness, I wouldn't apply here either. And once they actually went through the process, it was like, it was kind of a light bulb moment for them where they're like, we need to work on this.
Yeah. I love that exercise. I love it because most people just assume that their jobs are posted somewhere. Like I like to even like go back. It's like, all right, go to your website, find your about us, click on careers. Okay. Are your jobs there? And like a lot of times what you find is like, you can't click careers on your phone. Like, and you can click it on desktop, but you can't click it on your phone. And when you think about technicians, when are they ever on a desktop? They're working 10-hour days and then they're doing whatever at home. Like they're on their phone most likely. You got to make sure that it's easy to apply from a phone. Make sure the buttons click. Make sure they're all clickable.
Make sure they're all clickable. And it sounds really, really stupid to say it, but it is so true. And until you go through your own process, I don't know that you understand the pain that people have to go through. And I had worked really closely with a dealership at one point where they were talking about how they had potential that their candidates would have to take a 30-minute test or an exam of and like an aptitude type of test to be able to apply to their job.
To apply? Oh my gosh. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
No.
It really is.
Just to apply.
Just to apply.
I wouldn't do it. Like, I would definitely not do that.
No, you know, I would make it 2 minutes and be like, yeah. Well, and I think as you're talking, one of the things that really sticks out to me, and I think something that as that hiring manager needs to think about this is, what is your goal in this? If your goal is to only drive applicants and not to really see that process all the way through, great. But if your goal is to actually, hey, all I want to do is drive a conversation because I want to get to know this person. And for anybody that's looked at a lot of technician resumes over the years, there are a lot that don't do a good job at explaining their skill sets and what they are. And oftentimes we'll just discount the resume and say, yeah, it wasn't a good resume. And in reality, they just weren't good at writing a resume. So you missed out on a conversation there that could have led to a really, really good team member joining your team.
For sure. And I think, you know, the thing that just comes to mind, which is, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but it's AI. You know, I think AI is a great tool, but when it comes to hiring, if we use AI, there's the opportunity that we narrow out or eliminate too many people based on things like spelling errors or poor grammar or like whatever the case is. Like, there's the opportunity that AI is going to eliminate those people. And I think it's important, but I think there's the human element of hiring is very important now. And I think it always should be important. Doing things like adding automation and maybe AI for job descriptions or something like that is fine. But we just want to make sure that like we are looking at every resume. There is so much to be learned from people if you just, you know, give them a chance.
So you go through all that process and you get them in the door and you hire them. What can a dealer do to make sure that they're treating that person really, really well in making them that person feel welcome once they actually get their body in the doors?
Yeah. And this is all about, I mean, onboarding. Like, how is your onboarding experience? And onboarding really, it doesn't start on day one. It starts like 1 week in advance, because think about all the nerves that go into starting a new job. It's like, I'm going to start on Monday and I still don't know what I'm supposed to wear, where I'm supposed to park, who I'm supposed to meet with, like, what if I'm late? Who do I call? Like, a lot of these questions people worry about in advance. And if you wait until the first day to give them information like that, it's too late. So really, like, at Hireology, we like to talk about like starting your onboarding experience like at least 1 week in advance. Mm-hmm. Really clear instructions of like what to expect over this next week, what to expect on day one, what you need to do in advance of starting on day one. Some of the most innovative dealers are already putting all of their onboarding paperwork and everything digitally. So we really don't want people to be coming in on their first day of work and doing paperwork. Some of it, like I-9s, are really hard to do digitally, but it's possible. So if you're doing all your paperwork on the first day, that is a poor use of your time, that could be done in advance. So number one, start before that day one, hopefully like a week or a couple of days in advance. And then think about what day one and week one really look like. The last thing you want is for somebody to come in on day one and then be like, okay, where do I go? Where's my bay? Where's the break room? Where's the bathroom? Like, that not knowing is really uncomfortable for people. And if you set them up really well with a shadow, a mentor, whoever on that first day and that first week, so that they're occupied the whole time and so that they really get an understanding of like how things work, you're going to be setting them up for success. we found that people that say that they have a positive onboarding experience, so they knew what they were doing on the first day, they were met at the front door, they got lunch or like whatever the process is, they are 80% more loyal to their current employer. And that's big. Right? It's huge. So, and that's your onboarding. That's like that couple of days, day one, first week, like that time span is really important to driving employee loyalty. So think about it. Like sometimes the small things like swag are really important. I remember when I started at Hireology, I got a box in the mail. I don't remember how far in advance, but a little bit in advance, I got a sweatshirt, I got a mug, I got a pen, I got a book, like all of this stuff just making me feel really welcome on that first day. And swag goes so far. Like people want to brag about where they work. And that's free quote unquote advertising if people wear that stuff out and represent your dealership. So making sure that you think about what that first day and that first week looks like is going to make your people more comfortable and really is going to turn into employee loyalty over time.
I think we could spend another hour just talking about the onboarding process alone or the hiring process in general. So we'll definitely have to have you back on. You were amazing today, and I've learned so much as usual whenever I talk to you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's great to talk.
That wraps up another episode of Beyond the Wrench. If you liked this episode, please show your support by rating and following the podcast. You can also watch the video interviews on Wrenchway's YouTube channel. Speaking of Wrenchway, did you know Beyond the Wrench is managed and produced by the Wrenchway team? Wrenchway is an online community dedicated to promoting and improving automotive and diesel careers. We help technicians find the best shops to work at, and we also help auto, diesel, and CTE instructors get more support from local industry. You can learn more by visiting wrenchway.com.